fixing, so I just quit. Amen. All right. This could be saved, and heard a story about a lady who could not have any children, and she called her pastor and asked him if he'd come over and pray for her, anoint her with oil, and he said, "Yes, ma'am, I'll be glad to." So he got to the lady's house, and he forgot his oil, and he asked the lady, said, "You got any oil in the house?" And she said, "Well, I'll look through the house, see what I can find," and she couldn't find anything, so he got to looking. He found a can of 3-in-1 oil, and he said, "Well, I'll put this on you and see what happens." So he anointed her that 3-in-1 oil, and sure enough, he prayed over, and in a few weeks she found out she was expecting, and then 9 months later she had triplets, had 3 babies. So he's afraid to go to the hospital, and his wife told him, said, "You better go see her, she'll be mad if you don't." He said, "I'm afraid what she's going to say. I put that 3-in-1 oil on her. She had 3 young'uns." And she said, "Well, she's going to be mad if you don't go see her anyway." So he went on over to the hospital, and he walked in the room, and he said, "Sister, I'm sorry I put that 3-in-1 oil on you. You had 3 kids." And she said, "Well, I was mad, but," said, "I got to thanking God you didn't find that can of WD-40. Amen." So, anyway.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not much of a traditionalist on special days, but anyway, resurrection is always good to preach any time. But I was looking at something else here in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 12. And on Mother's Day, I don't preach on mothers, I preach on hell every Mother's Day, and they quit coming. But Isaiah chapter number 12. And I'll try to bring you just a few thoughts here, and we'll go to the house, okay? Isaiah chapter number 12, verse number 1. I realize he's talking about the millennial reign here, but I want to draw out the word salvation here in these first 3 verses. In Isaiah chapter number 12, verse number 1, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water, draw water out of the wells of salvation." So this morning, with the help of God, I want to preach a little while on the subject of salvation. Now, let me say first of all just a few things. By way of introduction, what is salvation? First of all, it's the gift of God. The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You can walk through the factory, and you can go out and knock on doors, and you can stop people at the flea market. You can ask them, "How do you get to heaven?" And they'll give you all kind of answers. Some say, "Well, you got to keep the Ten Commandments." And some will say, "Well, you got to keep the Sabbath day holy." I went by independent, fundamental, so-called King James Bible Church here a while back, and out on the sign, it said, "Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy." And I said, we're not Jews, and we're not trying to keep the Sabbath day holy as far as getting to heaven. But I just wonder what's going on in people's minds sometimes. But you know, the book of Galatians, they were trying to put people back under the Mosaic laws and the Judaizers and stuff like that. They were saved by grace, but trying to keep themselves by keeping the laws and things like that. But it's all just the gift of God. If it weren't, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble this morning. But thank God it's free, it's full. There's nothing you can add to it, nothing you can take away from it. I'll tell you, it's a done deal. I'm no more saved this morning than I was 37 years ago when I got saved by the grace of God. And it's forever. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I got something. I just got durability. It will last. I am a believer. Once saved, always saved. Amen. But not only is it a gift of God, but it's a present reality. You know, there's some people got the idea that you're not going to know that you're saved until you stand before the Lord. And if you're waiting till then, you probably won't make it. I'll just say it that. Amen.
Right.
You either got it or you ain't. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him."
Right.
Also, the Bible said in the book of Romans, chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:9, the Bible says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him.
Right.
And then not only is it a gift of God, not only is it a present reality, but I'm saying it's an experience. Salvation is an experience. It's something you're not born with. It's something that happens to you sometime in your life. I tell you, I got saved back in 1974 on a warm July evening over there in Lenore, North Carolina. Now, I've got an old-time Holy Ghost conviction. This girl had asked me to go to a singing, and I was just an old hippie. I was a redneck hippie, and I strung out on drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff. And I'd go to honky-tonks and disco joints and rock and roll and anywhere there's wild parties going on. That was my life. And this young girl I was dating at that time, she was an Adventist, and she wanted me to go to church. But the Cathedral Quartet were singing at a Baptist church over there in Caldwell County. And I realize a lot of people don't like traveling quartets, but I'll tell you, I believe George Yance was a born-again believer. And I went. I didn't want to go. I told her I don't want to go, but she kept talking, and I finally went. I went to that gospel singing that night, and I threw my foot up on the back of the pew, and I was chewing my chewing gum, and I was trying to make everybody in there miserable. I was mad because she made me go to church. But I tell you what, at the end of that service, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. I took my foot off of that pew, and I sat up straight. And I thought, folks, I thought I was going to drop off into hell right there in that church. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, boy, and shook me loose. But I did not get saved. I left out of that church, and I wanted to party a little bit more. I wanted to party a little bit more. I didn't know you could send away dead grace. I didn't know that you could cross the deadline. But anyway, I left out of there. Just a few weeks, maybe a month or so later, I stand on a street corner, and somebody gave my buddy a gospel tract. He's an old hippie, and he walked down the street and gave it to me as a joke. Now, it was not bothering him at the time. He walked down there, and he said, "Here, wait, so you need that." And I took it, and it had a Bible verse on the very front page, and I gave it back to him. I said, "Here, man, get that thing." And boy, I felt that feeling again. I said, "Man, alive." I said, that made me feel so miserable. But anyway, I was under conviction. I started dreaming about the Lord coming back. I'd heard a little bit about Jesus coming back. And I dreamed I was walking down the street there in Lenore one day, and the Lord was coming. And there was bricks and stuff falling off of buildings. And I woke up, and I was scared to death. And everywhere I looked, all I could see was hell everywhere I looked. Man, I'm telling you, God had me under conviction. Big time. I'm talking about big time.
Go ahead.
And let me tell you this. This is real strange. I mean, I took some LSD one day, Brother Danny. Two hits of LSD and a hit of purple haze. And I OD'd. And I flipped out, sitting in the front of a pool room in the back seat of a car full of hippies. And I thought the Lord was coming back that day. I mean, the sky turned red, and people were walking down the street, and I could see it on their face. And I told that boy driving, I said, "Take me down to the jailhouse." And he said, "What do you want to go down there for?" I said, "I want to go in there and have them lock me in one of them cells because it's made out of cement and steel. And I thought maybe when that fire starts falling out of the sky, that fire won't burn me up." And he said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Look, man, the Lord's coming back, boys." And they all looked at each other, you know, and they said, "Don't let him out of the car. He'll get run over or something." So they took me down to my apartment. And we all went in there, and there was a guy who gave me a New Testament on a third shift job that I worked, where you used to work at that Weaver's place down in Lenore. I went to work there. Marshall Blevins had given me a little testament. I went home and threw it under my bed. When I got home that day, them old hippies, I run in there and I crawled under that bed and I got that New Testament. And I come back in there. Now, I got in the middle of the floor, and here's all these hippies, these old hippie girls and boys, this hippie house I had. I was in the middle of the floor, and I was the ringleader, you know, this bunch of nuts that we run with. I was down on my knees just like that, and I had that New Testament up to my heart. And I was praying. I thought God was coming back, man. And I was praying. I said, "Lord, please don't let us go to hell. Oh, God, don't let us go to hell today." And I was crying. And I had a picture of a man on the cross, on the wall. And I know it wasn't Jesus, but it's just one of those pictures. And believe it or not, when I was crazy as I was, I did believe in the Lord. And I looked up that picture and I cried out, "Oh God, I believe Jesus died for me." And I don't know exactly what happened that day, but it was like you let the air out of a balloon. And I just come off of those drugs just like this. It just went, and I sobered up that quick, and I went, I looked at them hippies, and they was all sitting there crying. Every one of them was going,
"Yeah, glory to God."
And I said, "What happened? What just happened?" And they said, "We don't know." I said, "You're just praying, and something happened." Well, just a few days later, I was in the town hall pool room in Lenore, and I walked down, and I still had all that on my mind about hell and all that. And I know something. I didn't know what God had did that day, and I still don't know this day, but when I walked out of that pool room, there were two guys on the street telling people about Jesus Christ. And they stopped me, and again, they had those tracks, and they said, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ?" I said, "I don't know, but I sure want to." Amen, brother, I'm telling you.
Help yourself.
I went down to that little apartment, them two boys, and they opened up their Bible, and they got to reading to me about Jesus Christ. I tell you, boy, the Holy Ghost said, "Woohoo, boy, I'm telling you, boy, he got a hold of my heart." And he looked at me and said, "You want to pray?" And I was crying again, this tear running down my face. I sat on that old here, that old sofa, and that boy said, "You want to pray?" Woo! I said, "Yeah." And then my knees hit the floor, Brother Danny, and I said, the Holy Ghost got me that day, boy. I mean, it was just like some kind of explosion went off inside my soul, praise God. And it blowed the hell and the devil right out of my life, thank God. I tell you what, I got up, my friend, I tell you, I shouted, I cried, and I tell you, talking about an experience, I want to tell you something. I didn't have that until that day right there. But salvation is an experience. Let me say very quickly, its ability to deliver. Boy, it can save you from the penalty of sin. I tell you, we're hell bound. I want to tell you, before we're saved by the grace of God, we're going to hell. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death. We're separated from God.
Amen.
And I tell you, God's going to put us in hell if we don't get saved by the grace of God. But I'm glad when you get saved by the grace of God, He saves you from the penalty of sin. And then He saves you from the power of sin. Now, there was a time now I could not say no to liquor. There was a time I could not say no to the drugs. There were times I looked at them old hippie buddies of mine and I said, "Boys, I'm not going to do this anymore."
Amen.
I said, "Friday evening I get my check, I'm going to go to the grocery store and buy me some groceries. I'm going to go buy me some new clothes." And I said, "I'm going to quit living like I've been living. I wanted to change."
Lord.
And you know what? Friday evening come, I'd get that paycheck. You know where I went? Right back to the liquor store.
Yeah.
Right back to the drug dealer. I did not have any power to change my life.
That's right.
And so they put me in prison when I was 17 years old. I went to reformatory school when I was 14 years old. When I got out of that prison, my brothers got me on drugs. And I was in and out of jail, in and out of trouble. I was hooked on everything you can think about today. All kind of stuff. I could not quit. I had the worst habit of cussing that you ever been around a man. I tell you, I'd out-cuss anybody. I didn't even know I was cussing. I'd cuss him asleep. I mean, I just cuss. I want to tell you something. When I got saved that day, that stuff just went away.
What about that?
It just went away, and I wasn't even thinking about it. And I thought, I went days, and I said, "Hey, said a cuss word in days."
What about that, people?
And my friend, I could say no. I grabbed by every liquor store in town. I could just say bye to the drug dealers. And I tell you, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. God gives you power, my friend. I tell you, over sin. The Bible said sin shall not have dominion over you. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, according to the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And then one day it's going to save us from the very presence of sin.
Amen.
Then I'm going to say salvation, it's enjoyable. I tell you, it's enjoyable going to church. I tell you, it's a miracle. It's a mystery. The Bible said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whether it cometh and where it goeth." I tell you, you can't explain salvation.
No, you can't.
Then I'm going to say it's for everybody. Boy, that's a blessing, isn't it? Thank God the Bible said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And he wasn't talking about the Calvinist right there. There's a guy over in Lenore now. He preaches this, that God's going to save you, and you ain't got one thing to do about it.
Yeah, I
want to tell you something. You do have a choice.
That's right.
He is not going to save you against your will. He made that very statement that man does not have a will. And he said, some are born to go to hell and some are born to go to heaven. You ain't got one thing to do about it. I do know this. God takes the initiative. God is omniscient. God knows before the beginning of the world who's going to be saved and who's not. I understand all that. But I want to tell you something. You do have a will sometime in your life to exercise where you get saved or you don't. But salvation is for everybody. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Then you get saved anywhere. Not any time, but anywhere. You can get saved at the jailhouse.
That's right.
Like that old Philippian jailer. You can get saved up a sycamore tree.
Right.
Like old Zacchaeus. You can get saved at the graveyard like that old maniac. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. And then it's life-changing in its impact. Boy, that's good. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And very quickly, where will salvation take you? Salvation is mentioned 3 times in them 3 verses of Scripture. 164 times in the Bible. And it simply means deliverance, victory, rescued, safety. God saves people from hell, I said a while ago.
Yep.
Went camping one time with these boys, about 6 or 7 of us. That was years ago, we went up on Wilson's Creek. We camped out that night. And next day, we found us a swimming hole over there, and we was jumping in the water there. And Wilson's Creek had been a lot of people drowned up there through the years. And the preacher's son-in-law, Buddy Smith's son-in-law, I was standing on a rock, and he was out there in the pretty deep part, real dark part of that river. I was standing there, you know, and all of a sudden he hollered, "Wetzel, Wetzel, come save me." And we'd been playing tricks on each other, you know, all night and all morning, aggravating each other. And he looked at me and said, "I'm drowning, help me." And I thought he was playing until he went down and come up, and water was coming out of his nose and mouth and there. And he said, "Help me, I'm drowning." I thought he was serious. I saw he was serious. All them other boys was up the river. And I know, I said, if I go after him, he might drown me. But I said, if I let him drown, his daddy-in-law, Buddy Smith, is going to kill me if I let the son-in-law drown. So I dove in there, man, and I was kind of scared. But I kind of swam over to him, and he was really drowning. And I got real close to him, and I said, "Kevin," I said, "don't you drown me." I said, don't you grab me, boy. And I said, "just take hold of my arm." And I let him get hold of my arm, and in case he pulled me under, I was going to punch him and take off, amen. But he had hold of my arm, and I kind of pedaled out of there, and I got him in the rock, pulled him out of there. And that's when he shook my hand. He said, "Wetzel, I thank you for saving me." And I said, "I have nothing to it, man. Just call me anytime, amen." But I tell you, that's exactly what the Lord does to old sinners. Boy, we're drowning in sin. We're going under. We're down, drowning in hell. But the Lord comes to our rescue. He is our Savior. Well, let me say this, and I'll be through.
That's good.
It brought Israel out of bondage. See, salvation moves you from one place to another. It takes you out of one situation and puts you into another. And it brought Israel out of bondage. Exodus chapter number 14. It'll take you off the bar stool and put you on the church pew. It'll take you out of the pool room, put you in a prayer room. Salvation, my friend, moves you out of religion into salvation. Do you believe in backsliding? I do. You think it changed your life? Yeah, but do you believe in backsliding? I know there's people saved living out there in the world today.
Yeah.
Old Jim Price, he's dead now, but he used to have a saying, backsliding cannot be found in the New Testament. He said, but though so many Baptists practice it, it's got to be a doctrine in the Bible somewhere, amen.
Yeah.
It took old John Newton off the slave ship, put him in the pulpit, took Billy Sunday off the ball court, put him behind the pulpit, took old Billy Sunday out of the shoe shop, and it put him in the pulpit. It just takes people from one place to another place. Took Israel out of bondage and put him over in Canaan land. It brought Jonah out of the whale's belly. Salvation is of the Lord, he said. And it brought David out of the pit, Psalms chapter number 40.
Amen.
He said, "I was in a horrible pit." And he said, "I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard my voice. And He brought me up out of that pit, and He put my foot on the solid rock, and He established my going and put a song in my heart." Then it brings sinners out of bondage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Brings them out of darkness. He said, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Then it brought the prodigal out of the pig pen and put him up the Father's house. And then I'll say it'll take you to heaven when you die. What about that? Amen. You folks want to go to heaven when you die?
Sure.
I'm sure you heard Brother Danny probably tell this about the little colored boy. And preacher asked him, said, "You want to go to heaven?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "You don't want to go to heaven when you die?" He said, "Yeah, I want to die, but I thought you was getting a load up to go today, and I want to go today." Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that old beggar died in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. The Bible said he was ushered by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, I know paradise is not down there where it used to be, but I'm glad we're going to go to heaven, salvation. Going to take you to heaven, amen.
Amen.
And then it'll take you to holiness. Now, you think of everybody in Morgan, North Carolina, or Charlotte, or Lenore, or Hickory. You just think a minute, if everybody in the Unifor area, just one city, everybody was holy. Just think about that. If every banker you went to tomorrow morning or Tuesday or Wednesday, if every banker you went to that you talked to was a Christian living a holy life, think what a blessing it would be. Just think if every school teacher was living a holy life. Just think if all your neighbors, all the whole neighborhood was made up of holy people doing right. Man, you could leave your doors unlocked.
That's right.
When I grew up, you know what? We had a lock. You know what our lock was? An old wooden button. We didn't have a knob on the door. We couldn't afford one. Just push it shut. The only thing we had was rats, warts, and worms. That's about the only thing we had. And white lightning. My daddy was a bootlegger. Wouldn't nobody come in to steal. Because my daddy'd shoot you, and we didn't have nothing else. And so when I grew up, had an old outhouse way out there in the woods somewhere. I don't know why they put it way out there in the woods, boy, at midnight when Mother Nature called, boy, it was awful scary standing on the porch looking way out there in the bushes somewhere. Don't you thank God for inside plumbing, amen?
Yep.
But just think if everybody was holy, what a blessing it'd be. But it'll make you honest. Salvation will make you honest like it did Zacchaeus. He said, "I'll restore to any man fourfold what I've took off of him by false accusation." And that was pretty bad. I'll be honest, I hate to say it, I used to be a pretty bad thief before I got saved, amen. And I beat a man out of $165 down in Statesville when I lived down there. And I moved back to Lenore and got saved. Go to church. I'd be shouting, "Hallelujah, amen." And I told my wife, "You know, I need to go down there and pay that man." I met her, you know, after all this happened, but I used to tell her, "I need to go down there and pay that man that money." And I really intended to, and then that preacher would get on paying your bills, and my wife would poke me in the side, and I quit shouting. Because I'd get to think about that man I owed that money to. But you know what? I got in my car one day and drove down there and walked inside of Western Auto in Statesville, North Carolina. And he's a great old big redheaded fella, and he hadn't seen me in about a year and a half, 2 years since that happened. And he looked at me and said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm Wetzel Beard," and he went just like, he said, "I've been looking for you, boy." He'd been up in Lenore trying to find me everywhere. I said, "Sir, I got saved by the grace of God. I come down here to make things right with you." And boy, I paid that man that money. When I walked out of that store, it was just like a big burden lift off of me. Well, next time the preacher's preaching on praying your bills, I shouted, "Hey, amen, brother, hallelujah, let it rip."
Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
But it don't make you perfect down here, okay? I've been saved 37 years. 38 years this coming July. I wish I could stand here and tell you, in all them 38 years, I haven't told one lie. But I'd be lying if I told you I hadn't told one lie. I wish I could stand here and tell you I haven't looked when I shouldn't have looked and listened when I shouldn't have listened. I wish I could stand here and tell you I hadn't said one bad word. I said I used to be a bad cusser. I wish I could stand here and say, well, in these 37 years, I haven't said one bad word. But I have. I don't practice it. I was looking in my refrigerator one day. I opened it and looked down there, and I got a big old boy named Josh. Danny knows Josh. He's 6'5", and he don't think right sometimes. He walked up behind me and he opened up the freezer part to get some ice, and I was down there like that, and I raised up, and it, those things don't give a bit, but I don't care how hard your head is, they don't give. And it felt just like somebody hit me over the head with a tire tool or something, and I grabbed my head, and before I know it, I said, "Son, what the is the matter with you?" And he looked at me and said, "Dad, Dad, you said a bad word." And then he said, "Did you hurt your head?" I said, "No, it felt good, son. Do it again." But you can use that H word in a bad way, and you can use it the way the Bible. But when you use it the way I used it, it was wrong. But I said, "Son, I'm sorry. Lord, have mercy. I thought you were trying to kill me or something." But I'm about through. It'll take you to the harvest. Bible said in Matthew chapter 9, he said the harvest is plenteous and it's white, and the fields are white, and he'll take you out there soul winning. Amen.
Man.
Take you out there soul winning. And like I said, I'm about through. You remember over in the shell? Over in the shell, down at the old New Hope Baptist Church where I used to pastor. This boy was coming to church. He wanted me to go see his daddy. His name is Randy Shell, and he said, "I want you to go see my daddy." And his daddy had a real bad name in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, about chasing people with ball bats and planting marijuana, and he's a bootlegger, and he's just a rough kind of guy. So I found out where he lived. I went over there one day, knocked on the door of a little trailer, and somebody said, "Come on in." And when I walked in, there on the couch sat a man, 365 pounds. He had his shirt unbuttoned, and he had a big old chain, looked like a dog chain instead of a little necklace around his neck. It was just hair. All you see is hair. And he had a bush. He had one of them bushes that grew back. You couldn't have got his head in a bushel basket. I mean, it was just coal, solid black hair. He had a big black beard and two little black beady eyes, and he's just a monster looking of a man. And I started telling him I was an insurance salesman. I'm getting out of there, man, I tell you. And he said, "Yeah, what do you want?" So I came over here to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Man, he was just one big woolly, he looked like a big old armpit with two eyeballs in it, amen? But I got to tell him about the Lord. You know what? He was real humble. Thanked me for coming. Got put in the hospital a few days later. I went down to see him in the hospital. Witnessed to him again. He thanked me for coming. He got a little more serious, went to Winston-Salem Baptist Hospital, and down there in the bed, he just raised up, threw them big old arms in the sky. Boy, he called on Jesus Christ to come into his life. Boy, he got saved down there in Winston-Salem. He come out and come to my church, made a deacon out of him, started preaching. And he just become a great Christian. And last of all, it'll take you to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. I tell you, salvation won't get you to church, won't get you to heaven. Don't believe that. Hey, when you get saved, I believe you're like a duck, my friend, want to find a pond of water somewhere.
Right.
Boy, you want to go to the house of God. I didn't want to get around church before I was saved. But I tell you, after I got saved by the grace of God, boy, I started finding me the church. Not like the old psalmist when he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go down to the house of the Lord." Because you can find some motivation, some inspiration, some information. You can find all kind of good things down at the house of God. That's where I found my wife at. Down at the house of God, that's where I got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Down at the house of God, there's all kind of good things that happened to me.
Sure.
Down at the house of the Lord. When I got sick, you know who came through me and see me? Church people. You know who put a little money in my pocket and tried to help me?
There you go.
Church people.
Right.
Them old buddies I used to run around with, I thought were my friends. You know what they were doing on Friday evening? We'd wait on each other down at the poker house, the pool room, for each other to come down there so we could take their money off of them. And we called each other friends, trying to gamble and take each other's money. And then if we couldn't find anybody else to fight, we'd fight each other and try to kill each other. That's what you call friends, amen? We go down to church. Of course, they come down there and shoot you too and hurt you. I mean, down to church, you got to be careful. It's easier to start a fight in a Baptist church than it is a bar room sometimes. You got to be real careful.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's God's people that's been real good to me, buddy.
Amen.
And I'd have never made it without the church, I'll tell you that. I woke up 5 years ago, last day of April, and I thought I had a virus. I was, I just couldn't hardly stand up, and I finally laid down, and all that day my wife told me, said, "You better go to the emergency room." So finally that evening I said, you better get me to the emergency room. And when I got there, I'd lost 6 pints of blood. And the doctor came in and he said, "You're in serious shape." And he told my wife, he said, "We put 6 pints of blood in him." And he said, "It all run out his stomach." And I was going in and out of conscious. And I knew I was in serious trouble. So he finally come out and told my wife, now this is 3:00 in the morning, Valdez Hospital. He said, "Ma'am, I hate to tell you this, but your husband is not going to make it." He said he had lost 6 pints of blood. We put 6 units in him and it all run out and he's bleeding real bad. He said he's just got a little bit of blood left. And he said he's not going to make it. And so he got on the phone. He called 2 more doctors and they come over there and they all checked me. Gave her the same report. Said there's nothing we can do. And so she got on the phone. She started calling some preachers. She started calling church people. And those people started getting out of bed and calling on the Lord. And she called 6 Baptist preachers that we knew and got them all out of bed praying. They started getting on the internet, contacted missionaries we knew. People from other churches started getting up, people that knew them and stuff, they started praying. There's a whole lot of prayers went up. And 3 hours later, that doctor walked in there and he said, "Ma'am," he said, "all I can tell you is God just intervened in that man's life."
Amen.
And he said, "That bleeding just stopped." And he said, "That's all I can tell you is the Lord just stopped." And boy, it's good, I tell you, to have a church. And I tell you what, when you get ready to drop out of church, you better think twice about it. It may not always go the way you want. There might be some bad experiences happen along the way. I tell you what, you better keep your church.
Amen.
Stay in church and raise your kids in church. Because you don't know when you're going to need them.
Right.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your salvation. Lord, thank you for saving us, keeping us all these years. Pray for Brother Danny. You'll bless him and his church this morning. Give them souls for their labor. Lord, give us all a great day in Jesus. Bless these dear people. Thank you for them coming out today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.